Some of you know I shared this a week or so ago, and some people paid attention, that I was praying for a breakthrough. In fact, as I have, it's on my little stand over there, but I have a rock that says breakthrough on it that I keep all the time. I got one in my bag, I got one here, because I don't care if it happens here or somewhere else. If it happens somewhere else, we'll bring it back here. If it happens here, we'll take it somewhere else, right? So that's why I do that. And the Lord just kind of corrected me. I was journaling, writing down the things I thought he was saying to me. And he said, don't pray for breakthrough. Pray for favor. Because breakthrough is just favor at breakthrough velocity. And I thought, that's way too clever for me to come up with. That's the Lord. And so I'd encourage you, pray for a favor. And because I think it will result in breakthrough. So, but it got me thinking about that. And then when I got that text from Cheney's last night, I thought, oh, I was at the reception. These guys renewed their marriage vows yesterday, which was outrageously cool, by the way. yeah. And they were dancing with each other, so I interrupted. I said, told Wes, I got to go home and get to work. You tell them I'm leaving. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about favor, but it's come out of that, my concept of that had come out of the Lord kind of straightening me out or giving me a new way to pray. And so what is favor? Well, I'm going to look at it if we can run through this quick enough. I want to look at it from an Old Testament point of view and then a New Testament point of view. Now, Mounts says, Mounts has an expository dictionary of both Hebrew and Greek words. So the Vines has an expository dictionary. That's been the historic one. Mounts has been a little more recent. I got them both. I checked them. But I copied down what Mounts had to say. That he says, favor is to show mercy or to be gracious. Now we're looking at the Hebrew word. It's the pleasing disposition of one person towards another person. And I particularly like this part of the Old Testament concept of favor. Favor is expressed in one's countenance. Have you ever had the experience where you're looking for somebody or you wonder if they're here and they walk in the room and boom, you light up? It's really cool when it's the other way. That you walk in and somebody lights up. Of course, I would think I'm in trouble, but it's expressed in your visage, in your countenance, especially in the Old Testament. Now start thinking, I'm going to mention a few, but start thinking how many times there are prayers for, Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on me. Why? Because it results in favor. He's choosing to rest on you or catch your attention. And so it says in Psalm 25, verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me. In other words, set your eyes on me. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive me of all my sins. So just having a look, just seeing the kindness in the face of the Lord. And, you know, the Lord is eternally mortal and invisible, so you can't see it, but you can tell it, right? I used to do this all the time with the youth group. I'd always say, okay, look up. Do this with me. Just entertain me here. Look up. And say, Lord, here I am. And then see if you can smile. Because if you can, then you know the light of his countenance is on you. And you know that you do feel that he expresses his favor to you. Now, well, sometimes I do things that aren't so favorable. That's why it says, look on me and forgive me of all my sins. But it's a turn to me. Look at me. The psalmist is saying, Psalm 86, verse 16 and 17, turn to me and be gracious to me. This is in there a lot. Lord, I need to know that you're not turning your back to me. Turn to me, be gracious to me. Oh, grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your handmaid. In other words, he's in trouble. Show me a sign for good. That's favor. I need to know that we're connected, and I need for you to show me a sign for good. Show it so that those that hate me can be ashamed. because you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. So it's the Lord connecting with you, doing something good for you, helping you, and comforting you. That's a result of the favor of God. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So praying for favors maybe not such a bad idea. But this is a concept, Old Testament-wise, of the favor of the Lord. He turns his face towards his people. Psalm 119, well, I'm going to start with the 132nd verse. This is the long psalm. And I didn't have time to get an outline done, so I got one, but you don't. So now you have to listen. Pray for a favor. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. In other words, treat me like I really love you. Treat me like I'm really trying to obey you. Maybe I'm not doing such a God, but good job. But I'm asking, in your favor, treat me like one of those who you know loves your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Wouldn't that be the favor of the Lord, that no sin or dominion, no sin or iniquity ever had dominion over you? Wow. No besetting sin. Redeem me from the oppression of man, being cut off, being cut off, being cut off, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your precepts, your statutes. Make your face shine upon your servant. Yeah. I know I had a friend, still have the friend actually, but he was a grandfather before I was. And he said, Brown, you got to catch up, you know. And I said, well, you know, I'm not running the factory here, you know. That is what I said. And he had his first grandchild. And I said, yeah, well, good for you. I mean, cute kid and all that kind of stuff. Well, I don't know, a year later, something like that. Sam the cameraman was born, and I had a grandson. And I said, hey, man, I caught up. He said, no, you haven't. I said, now, with our new rules, you know, what's the deal? And he said, wait till that little boy can reciprocate to you. Right now, all you can do is hold him and cradle him. Wait till he comes and holds you. And he was right. Because, see, that face would light up and, right? And that's what he's saying. I want you to have this connection with the Lord. The Lord wants you to have this connection with the Lord, where it's like, Papa. You know, I mean, knowing that you are welcoming him and he's welcoming you. I still remember when my kids were little, and I was a youth pastor of this small Baptist church, and they'd be downstairs in Sunday school, and I'm in the aisle, and they'd burst through the door, and one would jump on this foot, and one would jump on the other foot, and we'd just stand and do this, you know, and twirl. And it didn't hurt to have them stand on my feet. We wouldn't suggest that now. But but if I could have 3 seconds of the look in their eyes when we connected, just one more time. And I'm not saying they don't like me now. That's not the point. You know, but there was that, oh, your countenance and mine meet. And you could see that I was as excited to see them as they were as excited to see me. Probably more of the excitement's on my part now. You know, I mean, that's probably, they've probably grown up from that. But there was a, and it's what he's crying out for. Oh, Lord, let the light of your countenance be on me. Pray for the favor of the Lord. So to find the favor of the Lord is delightful. Numbers chapter 6, you're aware of these verses. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, and saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. So favor is a blessing. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Face shine upon you, gracious is the favor. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Do you see that this is intentional on his part? Yeah. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. I wish I had time to unpack this, but I did this one day and preached from number six and prayed this way over people. He says, invoke, bring into your attention, bring in the presence of the Lord. He said, and pray that on people, not just for people. But this invoking the Lord is his name, his character, his power, his presence, his nature. All of those things affecting that person. That's the blessing, the Aaronic blessing that Aaron was to pray over the people of Israel. Isn't that strong? And it has to do with the countenance of the Lord. So in the Old Testament, favor has to do with countenance, with how you might be responding to him. And it's visible. I mean, you can tell it. I can go quick here. Genesis 6:8. The song says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And in the New Testament, grace, it's charis. Grace and favor are the same word. He said, you get stuff you aren't supposed to get because he likes to give it. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Exodus 33, I've prayed this. If you want a good verse to pray, this is really good. I've probably prayed this as I probably prayed in Isaiah more. But anyway, Exodus 33, verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. He's supposed to go lead the people of Israel. But you yourself have not let me know who you're going to send with me. Like, moi? I'm going to do this by myself? No, he sends Aaron. But anyway, moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have found favor in my sight. It's I know you by name. I recognize your face. When someone asks me, John, do you know this person? You know what I tell them? I know the name, but I must not know them well, because if I know the name, their face comes before my eyes. Haven't you ever done that and said that? Do you know them? I can't get a picture, so I'm not so sure I do. He says, you have told me, Lord, you've told me that you know me face to face. You know, you get it. We are in FaceTime together. And moreover, he said, that you told me I've found favor in your sight. Isn't that cool? Like, and it says later in the scriptures that Moses knew God face to face. Well, God's invisible. So knowing him face to face, a pretty good trick. But we all have that opportunity. Therefore, he said, I pray, if I have found favor in your sight. So now he's banking on it. You told me I have, so now I'm banking on the favor. If I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, that I might really find favor in your sight. Favor is an opening of God to bring you into the ways of God. What he does, the nuances, like, you know, I know Juan and I know Dana, but I'll never know Dana like Juan does or Juan like Dana does, because they have the little nuances and things where 16 years ago, something happened, and let's say it had to do with a light bulb, and now something happens today, and all they got to do is look at each other and go, light bulb, and they both laugh. Well, I just think they're stupid because light bulbs aren't funny. But it means something to them because they know the ways of each other. And they said, oh, Lord, that I might know you, that I might know your ways, that I might find favor in your sight. I dare you to pray this. This is really good. Exodus 33, 12 through 14. But Lord, that I might know you, that I might know your ways, that I might find favor in your sight. And in that way, it's saying he knew God face to face. That's not said of anybody else in the Old Testament. So, real quickly, and I'll do this really quick. I probably won't read any of the verses, skip over it. But the prototype of favor in the Old Testament is Joseph. Joseph is the perfect illustration of him, of God giving favor to a person. So Joseph, born into a family, brothers, he's the youngest. Dad makes him the cool coat, right? Looking good. The other guys are wearing denim. He's all decked out. And they don't like him because he's dad's favorite. He has found favor with his father. And he has a dream. He goes and tells his brother, I had a dream. God gave me a dream. They go, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you. Okay. And he has a dream, and in the dream, he's like the king, and they're the subjects. And then the next verse says, that they, that verse says they hated Joseph, and the next verse after the dream, it said, now they hated him more. So he wasn't real sharp on that one because he has another dream and he tells them about that too. So he's had two dreams. And in this one, not only is he the kind of the ruler of the king over the brothers, he is over the dad too. Well, the dad's not happy about this, but these were dreams from God. And so, you know, they take him, they beat him up a little bit. They throw him into the pit, take his pretty coat, put some lamb's blood on it. So it's, well, you got eaten by a bear or whatever. So they, but their hands would be clean, and they sell him into slavery. Well, he ends up, not even those people keeping him, those people sold him to an Egyptian who was the head bodyguard of Pharaoh. So this was not a guy my size, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's a bad guy. And the Lord shows him favor, and he becomes the ruler, it says, of Potiphar's house. So he's running, he's like the account executive doing all the stuff and everything. And then Mrs. Potiphar thinks he's cute. Bad idea. And she puts the moves on him and he runs away. And it turns out Mr. Potiphar believes Mrs. Potiphar and he ends up in jail. Which that doesn't sound like favor, but it was. Gets into jail and there's a couple guys in there that work for the king. And there's a dream and he interprets the dream and it comes true. And when the cupbearer, who happens to be the one that got the dream come true, he says, listen, when you get out there, remember me. You know? Well, that didn't work either. He has to wait a while, but then the Pharaoh has a dream, and he's going to, everybody's in trouble because none of the wizards and all those guys that they've got working for him can tell you about the dream. So this guy says, well, you know, as he's pouring the wine that day, there's this little Jew guy in there that interprets dreams. Bring him out. So they bathe him and shave him and bring him before, and he knows. And he with such efficiency and anointing, he tells him, this is what the dream is, that Pharaoh makes him the vice Pharaoh. He's the second in command in the country. And then he's able to get everybody to save up food and all this kind of stuff and build the granaries because there's going to be a famine. So when the famine comes, the brothers and the father come there to buy food, and they do bow before him. But he saves Israel. He's able to keep the people of God alive because they didn't starve during the famine because he was there and they could get grain and stuff from him. So his dreams came true, and everywhere he went, he ruled. He ruled Potiphar's house. He kind of ran the jail. It says that he had favor in the jailer's eyes. Countenance, favor. Kind of amazing. And then obviously favor with Pharaoh. See, here's what happened. The Lord spoke in, and it was the favor of the Lord to name Joseph a king. And he was a king on the inside all the time from that day forward, even when he was in jail. And he kinged it over every situation. I kind of know a little bit about that, never been a king. I jokingly say I'm not King John the First, but I was a youth pastor, and then I kind of pastored an insurance office. And then I pastored a carpet store because that's what I was doing, because that's what I was. And then I ended up, here we are. And because he called me. And I thought, why take this obtuse course? Well, in every situation, there were people there, you know, that you helped and made connections, you know, with. And I hated it. I would have rather just been like here. But he didn't hate me doing it. And I'm going to tell you, the favor of the Lord was on Joseph, that it didn't matter where he was and what he was doing, the Lord was about bringing to fruition what he had spoken. That's the favor of the Lord. I think the Chiefs kick off at 3. And is it 3:25?
It's a Monday game.
Okay, so don't look at me like that when I...
It's a Monday game.
I had to put this all together last night. And early this morning, so don't give me that kind of stuff. God gave Joseph dreams, and they all played out by the favor of the Lord. That's what you need to see. So favor has blessings that come with it. Joseph's life kind of gives us a preview of how that works. Favor causes people to be drawn to you to help God's dreams for you come to pass. That's one of the ways, you know, because you never can do it by yourself. You're not supposed to, because other people have things by the favor of the Lord that they're supposed to add to what you're doing, and you may also be adding to them. I mean, that's really real and true. So favor causes the Lord to send people to help you do what he said that he was going to do. Favor causes you to be at the right place in the right time for the right purpose. Haven't you heard the story? How'd this work? Well, I don't know why it did this way, but this happened and this happened. All these little details. Isn't a straight line the shortest point? I mean, the quickest way to get there? The Lord doesn't seem to mind not using straight lines. Why? Because he's dealing with unstraight people. I mean, people get all over the place, and he knows where they are, and it's okay for you to take 12 detours to get to the place you're supposed to get, as long as you get to the place you're supposed to get. And that causes what some people would call frustration. But you know, he's in all of it. You can't always see that, but he's in all of it. Well, I would have rather it happened this way. Yeah, but you're not in control. Right? Fact is, our being in control sometimes is what causes the detours, but I don't have time to talk about that. The other thing, and this is interesting, favor causes promotion because it's from the Lord. The Bible says, promotion comes from the Lord. And so, if the Lord has to promote you to get you where you're going to go, he'll do it. And why did it take so long? Well, maybe you weren't that promotionable, you know? You got to be promotable to be promoted. And so, there are times he has to just do reconstructive things with us to put us in the place where we fit. And sometimes what he does is put you in the place and that makes you fit. You don't fit until he gets you in the place. I mean, it's just, you can't tell him how he's going to do it. But it's the favor of the Lord that causes the promotion. It's elevation, because that's what it takes. Anytime you have an encounter with the Lord, you're in a better place than you were before you had the encounter with the Lord. And the promotion oftentimes has to happen in here before it happens out there. So God invites us to seek his favor. Especially this is true in the Old Testament. And I think, how should I say it? I think we can get it mixed up. All promotion doesn't have to be in the natural realm. Right? Haven't you ever been around somebody who goes, that guy really loves God? Why? You look, he doesn't have a t-shirt on that said, I love God. I mean, but it comes out of people. And why? Because there's been some promotional activity in here. And so what's the key to that? Say yes to him. Yes. I was talking to Wes one day, and he said, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. I said, I didn't have anything to do with it. And he looked at me and said, somewhere you said yes. And I said, oh yeah, I'm pretty good at monosyllable words. Yes. That's what it takes. But he invites us to seek and find his favor. Proverbs chapter 3, this is the first four verses of Proverbs 3. My son, don't forget my teaching. You've never done that, have you? But let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. That's favor. Don't let kindness and truth leave you. I've done a little thing on this that says kindness and truth live here. And you've got to have it that way. But don't let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. I want you to find favor. He's got it there for us. He said, I want you to find it. Not just hear about it. I want you to find favor because I want that good report. I want that wisdom. I want that compassion to be yours. And it comes through the favor of the Lord. This will be a little quicker. I'm going to talk about the New Testament now. So we're now turning the page. Grace and favor are the same word. It's the word charis, like grace gifts, charismatic, right? So you can use favor and grace pretty much interchangeably. But I like this definition. Favor is God's demonstrated delight. God's demonstrated delight. And the wonderful part about it is that he's able to delight over things that aren't the least bit delightful that I can see, like me. But he delights in rescuing us, it even says. Well, if I was the Lord, I'd get tired of needing to rescue a guy after a while. But he says, no, I delight in rescuing you because I value you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Favor is the acceptance of and the goodness towards, that's approval, towards those who cannot earn and do not deserve such treatment. Well, we all qualify. And then I got from Graham Cook. Favor is a special preference from one to another. It is an intentional bias, an advantage given for someone's benefit. It's the evidence that we are seen in a very particular way by someone who esteems and approves of us. To be given favor is to become privileged and highly regarded. We obtain favor because we are powerfully loved. Isn't that good? So one of the keys, one of the secrets, one of the things about favor is that we're not given favor because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is in us. In the Old Testament, it seems more selective, you know? But in the New Testament, if you have the Spirit of God in you, all of heaven loves the Jesus that lives in you. I think that's one of the reasons the Lord's Prayer talks about getting what's there here. Why? Because they're jealous over the Spirit of God. They love the Jesus that's in you and me. Even if they don't love us so much, they love, you know, angels come and work. So they're to minister to the heirs of salvation. Why? Because they ministered to Jesus when he was on the earth, and they're going to do for you with Jesus in you when you're on the earth, like they did for him. So it's recognizing that the first part of favor in the New Testament is to realize that God sees us in Jesus and sees Jesus in us, and so he's capable of expressing to us and for us what he expressed to Jesus. Where's Charles? I'm not quite there yet, but Charles came up and gave the guys a verse, and it's the last one I have on my list. He didn't know that. So
recently, the Lord has been speaking to me through the first chapter of Ephesians, and I was having my quiet time, and he spoke to me, and then this morning during worship, he spoke again to me. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now, during my quiet time, I said, Lord, this week I lost some of my kindness and truth on a phone call. And I probably made some other mistakes. So who are you talking about, Lord? Holy and blameless before you. And that morning he said, I'm talking about you. And this morning he says, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about you. He says, you're holy and blameless before him. The only way we can do that is through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We took communion in remembrance of him this morning, that we might stand holy and blameless before him.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, I didn't know what John was speaking about, but you follow the rest of that passage in Ephesians, and it goes on to talk about grace, which he's lavished upon us, his favor, which he has lavished upon us.
That's really good. Thank you, Charles. Well, I love it when a plan works, when you don't make it. So, the first idea, recognize favor is how he sees us. And he can have the, we can have the favor that Jesus has because he sees it that way. This is a little bit different than the Old Testament, because I think we think sometimes if you're really good, God's going to favor you. Now, if God favors you, you're probably going to do really good. Because it's not about our performance, it's about our position. The fact that I'm in him and he's in me. Now, I know I say this every time I bring this up, because I've been working on this for about 10 years, so just give me a break. But we seem to be growing a little bit in our understanding about the Spirit of God being in us. We're kind of still stumbling in the dark about us being in him. I'm saying we, that includes me, but I've been on this for a while. And see, it's not hard to accept that he sees us as holy, because the scriptures say we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're like in him. And so the Lord can see us by looking at him, and he can treat us like he treats him, because that's how he sees us. Isn't that terrific? So somebody said, well, I can't get in the presence of the Lord. I said, you can't get out, man. When the truth is, whether I recognize it or not, I think I said one time, you know, really, if we really understand that we're in him, then we don't keep looking up, we keep looking down, because we're seated with him in heavenly places. Now, you know what I mean. Do we not? Yes, of course we do. But the idea is, I'm not trying to get into him. The scriptures say by his doing, we are in Christ Jesus. By his doing. How did it happen? He did it. I don't know. I mean, I know it says he did. I can tell you what's supposed to key that and bring that to come to pass. But I can't say, boy, I remember the day when they opened Jesus up and put me in there. I have no. But I know it's true. And I know he's in here. Mostly at first because he said so. And now because I know so. And the same truth is there. So we, the favor of the Lord can rest upon us because positionally we are in him and he's in us. It's hard to know that experientially, right? So this is like you have to be a truth believer. The Bible says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Well, that means right next to God. You got it. Well, how can that be? Who cares? I mean, I know it's true because it's in the scriptures, and I understand just enough about it to say, oh, Lord, there's so much more to know. But the favor of the Lord is on us and can be on us because of our placement in him, our position in him. And so that may not be an immediate experiential reality, but he can make it more that way. So that gives you every open door in the world to say, oh, Lord, have favor on this. I have to go do this. I feel like you told me to go do this. Let the favor of the Lord be on those people that I'm going to and on the words that I'm going to speak. And there's nothing to block that other than I don't really feel that I've been very holy. I don't really feel, you know, I've told the Lord one time, the only thing holy about me is the Swiss cheese in the refrigerator. You know, I mean, that I don't think I qualify. But he said, well, get over yourself. That's really what he said. Just get over yourself. If my focus is on him, then I'm not feeling that way. Right? So I would say sometimes, someone asked me that today, do you think you glorify the Lord in the way you live every day? And I said, well, I'm shooting at it. I intend to. I'd like to think that's the outcome of my life. But he knows that's my aim, and he'll sharpen my capacity to hit the target. But that really is what I want. Is that what I produce every day? Don't ask my family. But the reality of it is, when he bends you that way because you ask him to, then there really are times where that really is true. That we are able, by the favor of the Lord, to do things that bring glory and honor to his name. But it's not because, man, we really shined up and got our lives all polished. No, we're functioning, working with him, walking with him, recognizing that we're in him and he's in us. And that is what shines up our life. Take the bushel basket off of the light so we get to be the light of the world. So you got to know it's his favor on us that causes him to see us like he sees Jesus. It's the fact that we don't have to perform and earn it, but receive it out of a gift, that we can have it. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 says, in Christ, or 15, excuse me. No, it's 5:17. That's what it is. In Christ, we're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Okay, that's true. God relates to the new creation. We get stuck about the failure of the old creation. He said, that's dead in my mind. Old things have passed away. So live in the newness. Well, but I did something bad back there. He's aware. That's why he sent Jesus. Because you're a sinner and you need forgiveness. Right? And I'm not a sinner because I did something. I was born that way and I acted it out. And now when I got born the first time, I was just born into this world and I was separated from God. I had to get born again another time. That's salvation. So now I can have a relation with him and he can relate to the newness in me. And I can relate newly to him.
Yes.
See, that's the favor of the Lord. So in the New Testament, favor isn't performance. Favor isn't even longevity. Favor is a relationship. Favor comes out of a direct relationship with the Lord. Doors open, right? Jesus is the new and living way. We can go right into his presence ourselves, and then we are already, in his mind, seated in his presence. So you can't tell me you can't get in his presence. You can tell me you feel like you can't get in his presence. But you can't tell me, you can't start out in his presence and tell me you can't get there. Am I making sense? I'm going as fast as I can. The presence of the Lord is part of God's favor towards us. He says, I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. If you can get that sequence, then you go, oh, I get it. There's nothing blocking him from treating me. With fair, I prayed over somebody yesterday about the favor of the Lord. You know when the favor of the Lord gets on you? You know what that makes you? A favorite. Huh? I'll get you a dictionary. It's in there. See, why? Because his disposition towards us is a favorable disposition. Well, sometimes bad stuff happens. Bingo, the word is true. In this world, you will have tribulation. God's favor is stronger, richer, never ends. His favor is for a lifetime, the Bible says. Right? Trouble comes at night, joy comes in the morning. His favor, it says, is for a lifetime. And that's not just this life. It's an eternal lifetime. Pretty cool, huh? And so we get to have that relationship because we belong to him. So favor is a right of relationship. A blessing because we get to be the children of God. And it's a relational right that we have. I skipped the verses about we are joint heirs with him. And like our inheritance is his, like his. And we're his. Part of his inheritance is his people. So it's a right given by God. In John chapter 1 it says, you know, he came to his own didn't figure out that he was who he says he was. And so they rejected him, but to as many as received him, like we prayed about earlier today, he gave them the right to become a child of God. And favor, and asking for favor, and living with favor, is that one of the rights that come with becoming a child of God. He had to issue a right for you to do that. Adopted us, right? But that's what it says. Everybody that's born physically has God as their creator. But they don't have God as their father until they believe in Jesus and are given the right to become children of God. See, that's why, can't say this now because it's not politically correct, but people who don't know the Lord, we used to say, well, those people are lost. Why are they lost? Because they've only been born once. And they can only really operate in this physical realm. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And you don't have the Spirit until you're born of God. That's a right. That's a privilege granted, right? That's a favor of the Lord. So the favor of God allows us to take shelter in the presence of the Lord when there's difficulty. And that's really worth it, because there's a lot of difficulty out there. But it's not just for avoiding disaster. He likes to have the favor on us all the time. I mean, he likes to grant us favor in good things as well as rescuing us from bad things. We have the idea sometimes, I think, well, the bad stuff, eh. But haven't you ever said about someone, they tell you what happened to them, they said, well, that's the favor of the Lord. I can't tell you how. I pray that for people all the time. But you got to pray it for yourself too. Because, see, he has that favorable disposition towards us. And you've got to know that. You know, I can't tell you how long it took for me to realize that he wasn't mad at me for being a screw-up. That's a Latin word for getting things all screwed up. That's not a biblical word, but you understand what I'm saying. And, you know, does that mean he's going to go easy on sin? No. No, not at all. Jesus was ripped to shreds on a tree to pay for our sin. No, he takes that very seriously. But he says, listen, I'm delivering you from that life. I'm transferring you from that life. And now you got a shot at this new life. So live in it. Walk in it. Think about it. Enjoy it. And if you mess up, tell him so. 1 John 1:9. Let him forgive you and cleanse you. You got to own it and say, I've sinned before you, Father. I did it. I admit it. And he goes, good. Check. Now, let's get on with it. Right? He doesn't toy with it. Neither does he toy with favor. Look at Joseph. All that trouble. You know, he could have gone through all that junk and been sold into slavery and gone to jail and stuff and never got out of it. Except for the favor of the Lord. And we all know people who got in trouble and haven't gotten out of it. They need the favor of the Lord. Favor empowers us to live in the light of that heaven to earth mentality. And don't you sometimes think, why is it so weird down here? I mean, how come the patients are running the asylum? And doesn't it, I say that more and more. I mean, just how can we be in this mess? We are. We're in it. Did we cause it? We didn't keep it from happening. But you can say, well, it's not ever, forever going to be like this. Hallelujah. But I was telling somebody yesterday, two days ago, they said, what's with you? And I said, what do you mean? He said, you're kind of excited or something. You know, I didn't know what he was trying to say. And I said, I wake up with a promise. I got a promise. Promise hasn't come true yet. Ticks me off. I mean, you know, I want so badly to see what I feel like the Lord has said, to come into an evidential presence so you can see it, measure it, taste it, touch it, and say, this is what he said he was going to do. That hadn't happened for me yet. But you know what? We're not done. Like I say, he's finished, but we're not. And so, see, I think it's the favor of the Lord. Somebody said, well, you're going to believe that until you die. And I said, I'm not planning on that. I'm not planning on dying, and I'm not planning on having to believe it for it until I die. I'm planning on for it to come to pass. But if it doesn't, then I will die that way. And I'd rather say, this dummy believed. Okay. I'm cool with that. I would rather do that than say, well, you know, I'm done. Is it easier? It's much easier just to say, well, that was, you know, I was younger then. No. He hasn't changed. By the favor of God, he hasn't changed. So he's as capable of doing what you saw him do in the Bible as he can do it today, like that.
Yes,
like that. As a matter of fact, if we're ever going to get out of the mess we're in, he's going to have to do something like that. And I think the favor of the Lord is an invitation to us to say, you have not changed. Things down here need to change. Maybe we could put those two things together. Because I don't count on a political change. Do you? I'd take one, but, that's, like I said, our hope is in the white throne, not the White House.
Amen.
Right? And so we need heaven to come to earth so other people will get there too. And so I just all I can tell you, I think the favor of the Lord is, Lord, we need that third great awakening. We've seen two in our nation, in our history. We need a great awakening now that shake, rattles, and rolls the culture that we're living in and brings an integrity of heart back to people. And our corporate conscience in our society is sicker than sick, man. I've been around here a while. I've never seen it like this. I want something so fabulous to happen in the church that we can say, we've been around a long time, but we've never seen anything like this. I think the best is yet to come. And I think that's the favor of the Lord. Lord, today we just present ourselves to you. We are really good targets for the favor of the Lord. We live in a day when you want to speak to your church. And I mean, I've always seen it this way. And you prophesy. You said, prophesy to these bones. Can these bones live? And Pentecostal bones live. And Methodist bones lives. And Lutheran and Charismatic and Baptist bones live. And live out what they were called to do. Have the effect on the culture that they are to do. Have new light and life in them that brings healing and salvation and integrity to people that had never even been able to put those three words in the same sentence. We long for the release of that favor from heaven that delivers the people of God so that we are free to be who and what we are called to be and have the effect as the church on the earth that you want us to have. Who wouldn't want that? Lord, would you cause your favor to rain down on us? Would you turn to us and let the light of your countenance shower us with hope and faith and expectancy of you coming to this world and be you any way you want to express it? That would be a most favorable outcome. We bless you, and we thank you for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.